Country Pop FM.
You know, it's been 4 weeks since I've been here to blow the train whistle on the Friday Almanac.
Wow. Yeah, I haven't, of course, you know, I abstain. Right, you know, I make mention of the fact normally it'd be a train whistle Friday.
Only but my lips touch the wood of that train whistle.
Well, that's the way it should be.
It irks me to think that somebody else that I'm that related or married to would have used that.
Right. I keep it closely guarded when I'm in there.
Also, people who hate the almanac, if they had access to this, who knows what they would do with that whistle.
Yes.
Knowing that I wouldn't know.
Yeah, and you wouldn't know where it's been, literally. Well, yeah. Right.
This seems fine.
I've solicited Allie Gray not to use the train whistle, but since she is, you know, a percussionist of sorts, you know, when she performs, she, you know,
the triangle,
tambourine, triangle, you know, so any of those, even she's even taken over the clown horn when it comes time to start the almanac, if we use that. But the cowbell, of course.
Well,
she's played cowbell.
You honking the clown horn, that's just become a cliche.
It kind of is.
That's redundant at that point.
Right.
Right?
That's almost like, you know, if it's Bozo, do you really need the clown?
Yeah. If you look like Bozo, do you really need the horn?
Right.
Do you need to blow the horn? Is that just going over the top? That's at that point just too much. Today, this date in history, Friday, March 21st. Haven't said this yet, but first full day of spring.
It is the first full day of spring.
Yes, yes. 80th day of the year, 1963, right out of the gate.
It's hail and farewell to Alcatraz. The Dread Rock in San Francisco Bay plays host to the press on its closing day. For the first time in its long penal history, reporters and cameramen are allowed to roam its innermost cell blocks and cells at will.
Last inmates transferred out of Alcatraz on this date, San Francisco Bay. Order by the Attorney General, who would at that time be Robert Kennedy.
Oh, sure.
Close her down. Shut her down.
Yep. It was probably in disrepair and ready to be vacated.
It was originally a fort, like a Civil War fort or a military fort going way back when on that island. And then it became a prison. Clint Eastwood escaped from it, and they decided, well, if Clint Eastwood escapes from Alcatraz, we got to shut it down.
Yep.
You know, used a fan and some rubber suits to make an inflatable boat. I mean, come on. Are we even trying here anymore?
No, it was the right move at that point.
1965 in the news this date, just 2 years later.
It is a Sunday to be remembered, not only by Selma, but by the rest of Alabama and by the rest of America. Under the leadership of Dr. Martin Luther King and under the presidentially ordered protection of the National Guard and soldiers of the United States Army, the long-awaited, long-delayed Freedom March to Montgomery begins.
Historic March to Montgomery started here this date with the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. and more than 3,000 civil rights demonstrators. They went from Selma to Montgomery. An additional 25,000 people joined the march along the way. One of those important moments in the civil rights battle.
Yep.
Back in 1965. We're going to move on to 1980. This was the cliffhanger of all cliffhangers.
Who's there?
No, JR. No. Don't check out what that sound was.
Careful.
Oh, boy. That's it. You're not going to take out J.R. Ewing with just one shot.
No.
Yeah, there you go. The ending of Dallas, the season on Dallas. What season was that? It was the season finale. It's probably like season 3, I think, by that time, 1980, maybe season 2. Nobody knew. Was he dead? Was he alive? Who shot him? I mean, it was a great cliffhanger. I mean, boy, did they get that one right.
For sure. That was a big moment.
I was just into middle school that fall, And there was a kid in my class, he had a t-shirt that said, "Who shot JR?" I mean, it was everywhere.
Right.
It was out on the farm. It was in the gravel pits. You know, it was out in the bush. It was everywhere. This thing was a pop culture phenomenon.
It sure was.
1980 here on this date. And I'm not going to tell you who shot JR because we'll cover that later on this fall.
Right. When it would have debuted. Yes. And it was probably one of the most watched episodes of all time.
1983, the only ever known typo on the cover of Time magazine took place on this date.
Really?
Somebody was probably fired. It was the word control, but they forgot the R. So it was control.
Oh, whoops.
So they caught it.
The
proofreaders.
The fact checker.
Yeah, the fact checker, the proofreader. Somehow it did. And all of those editions were recalled. If somebody has one of those, I bet you it's worth a pretty penny. If all of them were recalled, how many of them actually got out and stayed out? That's a question that I'd like
right.
to know.
Yeah.
That was in 83. 1993.
These are the feet.
This craze is just, it's scary.
Of Beanie.
They're just cute.
Crazed.
That's the new baddie.
Collectors.
You ready?
They've been waiting hours for Coach House gift store to open.
I like the duck.
We got two raccoons, two skunks, and two spiders.
Coverage of the Beanie Baby craze. This was the date that Beanie Babies were introduced by the company Tye. They were Tye Beanie Babies.
Sure.
And
huge,
people went bonkers for them. There was a huge market for them. Some of these were extremely expensive, and then that market absolutely dropped and the bottom fell out.
It crashed.
Big time. I think I saw something where there are some that are very rare that are still quite valuable.
I suppose.
But people lost a lot of money because they bought these thinking that they were only going to increase in value.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Donnie and Marie China set that you display from the Franklin Mint.
Right.
But these Beanie Babies that, beware.
There was a local retailer that had thousands and thousands of them, and then the market dropped, and
right.
then they just sat there. And
was
then
it?
We gave them away at Halloween parades, and
yes.
they were huge, huge hits.
They called
on candy,
right?
Yeah, they were running after us. The people. It was hard to control the crowd.
If you have something that you cannot get, if you've tried all other avenues, if you have something that you cannot give away and get rid of, contact Bob FM.
Right.
We'll get rid of
to a parade. Yep.
We're a fixer.
Mm-hmm.
We're the fixer. We'll get rid of things. You got
right.
Speeding tickets. We'll get rid of it. An annoying neighbor. We'll get rid of it.
Right. Yeah.
A dog that barks incessantly in your neighborhood. Give us a
Done.
Call. Give us a
right.
call. You got Beanie Babies up the yin-yang. Give
yep.
us a call. We'll take care of it. We'll find a way. And we did.
We did. And they were. It was big.
So those Beanie Babies, this date, 1993, and then 2011, Neil, Barry Bonds is?
Cheater.
Baseball's all-time home run king is on trial. The federal government's case against Barry Bonds begins with jury selection Monday in San Francisco. Bonds is charged with four counts of making false statements to a grand jury in December of 2003 and one count of obstruction of justice. The federal government alleges the former slugger lied when he denied knowingly using steroids and human growth hormone.
The question is, did he lie or did he misremember?
Most of them misremembered, right. seems like.
Before we transition into birthdays, Neil,
yes.
today's Bob Almanac is brought to us by
Freedom Fest and the Invisible Wounds Project. They are sponsoring this entire week, and I think we should maybe tie in your Fave Five to what's happening at Freedom Fest.
There's a tie-in for my... What a coincidence.
I know. I don't know how that happened.
How did that happen that I would say I was doing Clay Walker Fave Five, and then am I assuming we've got a big Clay Walker announcement here?
He is the headliner for this year's Freedom Fest, and... Coming up this fall, and Russ and his team with the Invisible Wounds Project put on a big, big party in September, and Clay Walker is going to be the headliner. And so since he's Fave 5 next week, we'll give away tickets to Freedom Fest all week, I believe, next week, too. So it's pretty cool.
Pair of tickets?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, thank you, Freedom Fest. Thank you, Invisible Wounds Project, for all you do. And should be a lot of fun. If you didn't mention it before, and you know I only listened to every fourth word, I think, that you say, Neil. It was every other word, and then it was every third word. But I think it's every fourth now. It changes every year. Did you say when Freedom Fest is?
I just know it's this fall. It's usually like around the third week of September.
We don't need to know the exact
I don't have it right in front of me. It is several months out.
But, I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't, you know, in April.
Right. Yeah, next week or something.
I don't want it to be on the same day I'm going down to see Air Supply at Mystic Lake.
Ooh.
Ooh, nice. Yes, indeed. Yes, we're all out of love. Let's move on to birthdays now today on the Bob Almanac.
I'm reporting to M that you deliberately missed. Your orders were to kill that sniper.
Stuff my orders. I only kill professionals. I've goaded no one end of a rifle from the other. Go ahead, tell him what you want. He fires me, I'll thank him for it. Whoever she was must have scared the living daylights out of her.
And that was the name of the film, The Living Daylights, one of two films that Timothy Dalton portrayed, James Bond.
Yes.
Timothy Dalton, kind of an unknown.
He did pretty good.
Yeah, I liked him as that role.
I did, too.
He was kind of an unknown, at least to American audiences.
Yes.
When they brought him in, you know, and then they followed him with Pierce Brosnan, who we were familiar with, of course.
Yes.
As Remington Steele.
Yep.
I just saw Pierce Brosnan in, there was this new movie out. It's called, the one that I saw in Kalamazoo, Black Bag.
Right.
Black Bag, which I thought was good. And Timothy Dalton is currently in the Yellowstone prequel, Yellowstone Origin Story, 1923.
Oh, he's in 23.
He's playing a bad guy. He's trying to steal what else but the Dutton's land. They're trying to steal the land, Neil.
They had some property people coveted, evidently.
But what was it, it's called? Paradise Valley? I think so.
Yeah.
They call it Paradise. You paid.
How old is Timothy Dalton now?
Put up a parking lot.
Sure.
He's 79 today.
Yeah, License to Kill, I think was
that was the other one. Yeah. Yes, indeed. He is 79 here today. And we've got a new Bond. You know, Daniel Craig, he stepped down. I'm not familiar with Aaron Taylor Johnson, but he's the next one.
Right.
Just an FYI for you.
Can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
In the summertime, when the weather is high, you can stretch right up and touch the sky when the weather's
his fine. Name isn't Mungo Jerry, although he looks like a Mungo Jerry.
Yeah.
If you were to name this guy, you would go, he's definitely a Mungo Jerry. He's a Mungo. But it's Ray Dorson, lead singer of Mungo Jerry. He's in the summertime, Neil.
Just do what you feel, speed along the lane.
No relation to Mungo. It's Mungo.
No, but this guy also was a pawn in the game of life. I don't know if you knew that. And he attempted to punch. He attempted to punch out a horse, but it didn't go well. The horse punched back on Mungo Jerry.
Well, there you go. You got so, what your comeuppance.
Ray Dorset here today is also 79.
Don't you think?
We specialize here on the Bob Almanac. This is Roger Hodgson, lead singer of Supertramp, keyboardist, lead singer. I love their music, their songs.
I did too. That's really good.
You sing along to him, and he's got a great voice. Roger Hodgson is 75. How about this voice?
Only you.
Up thinking this was a woman singing in the Stylistics.
Right.
This song is for you, filled with gratitude and love.
God bless you, Neil.
Thank you.
You make me feel brand new.
I love you. This is a red letter day for
you. You make me feel brand new.
You look so old, you make me feel brand new. That's basically what they're saying right now.
Kind of, yeah.
Your wrinkles are so bad, it makes my skin look like a baby's bottom. So that's Russell Tompkins Jr., the singer, lead singer, sang all those high parts with the Stylistics.
Very nice.
74 here today.
Who is it?
Sandra.
Sandra who?
Sandra, your daughter, remember?
The one that goes to Princeton?
Yeah, that's the one.
The one with four A's and a B last year?
Yes.
What do you want?
She was the oldest daughter, the oldest Huxtable daughter. I always thought that she kind of disappeared like Chuck Cunningham on Happy Days, but she was around a little bit longer than Chuck, but kind of moved on, got married to that guy that she meets on the show, Sabrina LaBeouf, who played Sandra, Sandra Huxtable here today, 68. Did you know that Whitney Houston was up for the role, that role?
No, I never heard that
out today. Whitney Houston was up for that role as Sandra Huxtable on Cosby's Show. How about Gary Oldman? He's 67. Commissioner Gordon.
Fancy stuff for a city cop. Have help?
We liaise with various agencies.
Save it, Gordon. I want to meet him.
Official policy is to arrest the vigilante known as Batman on sight.
Mm-hmm. And what about that floodlight on the top of MCU?
If you've got problems with malfunctioning equipment, I suggest you take them up with maintenance counselor.
The bat signal was malfunctioning equipment, according to Commissioner Gordon.
Right. He was a good Commissioner Gordon.
I liked him as Commissioner Gordon in the Dark Knight series, Christian Bale Batman's. Gary Oldman. He won an Oscar for playing Winston Churchill.
Oh, okay.
Talk about method acting. Yes. He transformed into Winston Churchill.
Yes.
In the Darkest Hour. Gary Oldman, 67 today.
Our top story tonight. Buckwheat is dead. The legendary star of The Little Rascals was shot by an unknown assailant upon leaving 30 Rockefeller Plaza tonight.
Yes, Buckwheat is dead, and he broke the news on SNL.
Ooh, I hear that. Yeah.
Brad Hall, who's married to... what's her name? Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Oh,
Elaine.
Really? Okay.
Elaine, yeah, because they met. They were both on SNL.
Sure.
And Brad Hall, 67.
This is my ninth sick day this semester. It's getting pretty tough coming up with new illnesses. If I go for 10, I'm probably going to have to barf up a lung. So I better make this one count.
He is the sausage king of Chicago. He's about to take a day off.
Right.
I think you get bored of skipping that many days. So you'd want to mix it up and go to class. But Matthew Broderick is, he's 63, Neil. Ferris Bueller is 63.
That's crazy.
Let that set in just a little bit here for you.
We called him
AP.
It's not possible.
No, it's not possible. He's 63.
You played a horse out.
You played your heart out. 9 yards. Boy, that's got to hurt.
9 yards what?
Yeah.
9 yards what? From breaking it?
That's what I heard.
Well, you know, ultimately, we got the W. And that was my main focus coming to the game. I said, if it happens, it happens. It'll happen, but don't focus on it.
Adrian Peterson there, post-game interview. He came 9 yards shy of breaking the all-time single-season record at that time. I think it was still O.J.'s record, wasn't it? That was like 2012.
Eric Dickerson?
Oh, no, that's right. Dickerson had passed it. Yeah, you're right. Dickerson. It was O.J. over 2000, then Dickerson broke it.
Yeah,
and then Adrian came 9 yards shy. Adrian Peterson is 40. And Pam Oliver asked Adrian Peterson, you know, he got in trouble, didn't he?
Yeah.
He took a switch to his kid.
Yeah, he made some perhaps poor decisions.
Right.
Maybe not the greatest father ever.
Adrian Peterson is
pretty good running back, though.
40 today. And then our rapper of the day is Diggy Simmons.
Oh, boy. Diggy.
Diggy Liggy Low Simmons. Diggy Simmons,
okay.
Who's the son of Joseph Rev Run Simmons. That's from Run DMC.
Okay.
You know them. They are.
Yes, I do know them.
They're
so
on
he
the,
followed in dad's footsteps.
Mount Rushmore of early rappers, the beginning of rap. And Diggy.
Right.
Diggy Simmons.
Diggy.
Is 30 today.
I like that. All right. Gone but not forgotten composer, Johann Sebastian Bach.
As they call him J.S.
Yeah. You know, when you got your sonatas and your whatever else they write, the Baroque period, I'm sure. And where all great composers come from is Germany or Austria. And he's right in there. The long lineage of Bach's that wrote music, 1685 for that one. We had, didn't we just have...
Ernest.
Yeah, we had Ernest. Now we have Giulio Gallo, the winemaker, 1910.
The vintage dated varietal wines of Ernest and Giulio Gallo. Among the most respected in America. Among the most respected in the world.
Those guys had to go through their entire life wine drunk. But were But were they wine drunk and running? Like John Conley.
Like John. Maybe. I don't know. Giulio Gallo, born on this day, 1910. Peter Bull was an actor, born on this day, 1912, was in some pretty classic films.
African Queen, and what's the other one, Neil?
Doctor Strange.
Yes.
You don't have any fresh fish?
I'm afraid not, sir.
Your eggs, then, they are fresh?
Oh, yes, sir.
I will have poached eggs. And bring me some cigars, please. Havana cigars.
And that will be all for you, sir?
Yes.
Then I'll see to it right away.
Try one of these Jamaican cigars, Ambassador. They're pretty good.
Thank you, no. I do not support the work of imperialist stooges.
Oh, only commie stooges, huh?
Only commie stooges.
Is that him? I don't know which one is who.
He's the Russian ambassador.
Okay.
He's the one demanding the fresh fish because, yes, of course, being from the Soviet Union, only the Politburo and the upper class get fresh fish. Everybody else gets fish sticks frozen under communist rule.
Yeah, right. Dr. Strangelove, not Dr. Strange Glove, Willie Norwood from the Twins. Dr. Strangelove, the name of that movie, 1912. Filmmaker Russ Meyer, 1922, Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. You had your Vixen, Super Vixens, Ultra Vixens.
All of them.
And then he liked particular assets for his actresses.
Right.
I mean, look at this. Every waitress working here has the same proportions, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I would say.
What's going on here? How is this possible?
Do you think it's a coincidence?
No. I haven't seen four women like this together outside of a Russ Meyer film.
the reputation, people know.
Right.
That's where I learned about Russ Meyer and Seinfeld.
That's right. Russ Meyer in 1922. Bandleader Mort Lindsey, he was part of the Merv Griffin Show band. Always did a nice job. 1923. 1930, Emmy Award-winning actor James Coco.
James Coco? James Coco? 15 seconds to curtain, Mr. Coco.
Thank you, Scooter. Would you tell Wardrobe that I like this jacket pressed?
Sure. Hey, Wardrobe, press that jacket.
That's how they did things at the Muppet Theater. You have to love Scooter.
It's nice that James Coco made the Muppets. He was in some other shows. He was in a few westerns along the way.
You know what? He's a poor man's Dom DeLuise.
Correct. Right. 1930, and that's it. They're all gone, but not forgotten.
I can't believe your staff forgot.
Really?
The Money Man.
No.
I know. I thought you were a fan of The Money Man.
I want to party with The Money Man, and I did. I mean, with a group of us. Seen him a couple of times.
I'm sure
a couple times it was really rough.
I'm sure none of us could party with the actual Money Man at his heyday. There's no way he couldn't keep up with it.
He couldn't keep up with it, as a matter of fact.
So Eddie...
Pretty haggard.
Yeah. Eddie Money, 1949. And he passed away 2019. Now,
they're all gone, but not forgotten.
Looking for Love, Friday Bobathon, No Repeat Workday, Johnny Lee, Tim McGraw, Just to See You Smile, or Hole in My Pocket, Ricky Van Shelton.
Just to See You Smile, I think.
W2PM, Princeton, WLKX, Forest Lake, KDDG, Albany, KDDG, HD1, Albany, St. Cloud, KDGY, Faribault, KLCI, Elk.